Newsletter, March 2019. The Book of Fire, The Life Givers, or Trying to Walk My Talk. Let me start by getting the obvious stuff out of the way. The long-awaited Book of Fire by best-selling astrological author Stephen Forrest is now available. Act now, act now. These savings won't last. Be the first on your block, etc. I know you've heard it all before, and of course, I would like for you to buy the book, but only if I think you might find it helpful. So far as I know, Linda Goodman, who wrote Sun Signs back in the 1960s, is the only astrological writer who ever wound up wealthy for her efforts. For most of us, it reminds me of the old joke about how to make $1 million playing jazz music. Just make sure that you start with $2 million. Astrological writing is a labor of love, in other words. In all honesty, even though I'm probably among the more successful astrological authors in terms of book sales, most of the profits from my books have come in the form of spin-offs, readers getting inspired to come to me for consultations, invitations to lecture and teach, things like that. At this point in my life, I know that I could probably coast on my reputation. I just turned 70. My recorded readings, which I send to individuals around the world, are currently booked about 4 years ahead. The situation verges on completely crazy. And of course, promising anyone that I will still be alive and well when I'm 74 smacks of hubris, inshallah, as our Muslim friends say, if God so wills. So, why should I write another book? It is actually even crazier than that. The Book of Fire is only the first volume in a planned series of four. You guessed it, the books of Earth, Air, and Water remain ahead. As I write these words, I am actually about midway into the first draft of the Book of Earth. Here's the part about my trying to actually walk my talk. I believe in setting positive intentions for how we choose to respond to any transits, progressions, or solar arcs that might lie ahead for us. I believe that is especially helpful for the ones that might look kind of frightening. Saturn transiting through a conjunction with the Sun, for example. I believe that each one of them, no matter how scary it might look, has a higher purpose. I believe that if we figure out what that purpose is and embrace it, in other words, set a strong intention to learn what we really need to learn, that we will have the obvious soul benefit of the learning. But we will also help ourselves to avoid the pointless suffering that arises from an unconscious or foolish response to any astrological stimulus. We may not avoid suffering. I'm not being Pollyanna here. But there is a big difference between the kinds of meaningful suffering that teach us a valuable lesson on one hand, and the pointless suffering created by surrendering our power to fear and laziness and just feeling peeved about how unfair the universe is treating us. In December 2017, Saturn entered Capricorn. I have three planets in Capricorn, including my sun, so I knew that I had a choice. I could get exhausted, or I could get depressed. Wonderful, huh? I know that sounds like a grim decision, but given the choice, I think most of us would pick exhaustion, albeit a little reluctantly. It beats depression. Now, as a rule of thumb, exhaustion is the right choice during Saturn times, and it is not nearly as bad as it sounds. Exhaustion arises when we have made any kind of monumental effort. It comes from giving everything we've got, and that can be a glorious thing. With Saturn entering Capricorn, I knew that I had to climb a mountain, or instead face some miserable emotional states. Writing a book is a good example of that mountain climbing. It's got all the Saturn signatures, hard work. It takes a lot of sustained self-discipline, some sacrifices, plus a lot of time. But after writing a dozen books, I knew that writing one more would probably not be a sufficient response to Saturn's call. Writing one book would be too easy, so I decided to write four. When I first heard myself say those words out loud, I could not quite believe that I was uttering them. They scared me. Four volumes, like 1,200 pages, more or less. Yikes! But I have been practicing the craft of astrology for long enough to know that I recognize the positive omen that lay hidden inside that daunted feeling. That is exactly what Saturn wants, a mountain that is worthy of your best efforts. And I have to say that as a result of committing to this four-volume series, even though I am working awfully long hours for a man of my age, I am happy. The total engagement with this huge project actually enlivens me. That's how Saturn works. To say that this element series has given me a reason to live would be way too dramatic. I have plenty of other reasons to live, but it has helped. I have a fantasy. One that is based solidly on the theoretical principles which underlie evolutionary astrology. The fantasy is that we might describe a parallel universe in which I decided not to take on this difficult project and instead to slip into some kind of retired or semi-retired state, put my feet up, turn on the television, maybe get one of those old guy sweaters and a pair of loose shoes. In that version of the universe, I am vaguely depressed. In that universe, I feel like an old man of 70, rather than holding the current world's record for the longest midlife in the history of human race, which is closer to how I actually feel. So that's my talk. And I am walking it, or trying to. Saturn is my friend, and he can be your friend too, no matter what you might read. Now, let me tell you a bit more about this element series that I am doing. The Book of Fire is an in-depth exploration of the life-giving nature and interdependency of the three fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Equally, it is an in-depth exploration of the planets which rule those three signs, Mars, the Sun, and Jupiter. Completing the triangle, we also survey the three so-called fire houses, the first, the fifth, and the ninth. Originally, I envisioned the Book of Fire as a series of more advanced psychological and metaphysical essays about those nine symbols. But Lord Saturn had a more daunting plan in mind. After tricking me into committing to this project, he revealed the fine print that the Book of Fire and the rest of the books in the series would have to have lengthy cookbook sections. That is to say, they would be a bit like encyclopedias. A reader could simply look up the meaning of Mars, the Sun, or Jupiter in any one of the 12 signs or 12 houses. Now, that's a lot of writing. In all my work, I have always emphasized the importance of learning how to think astrologically, rather than relying upon these kinds of prepackaged interpretations. I really do believe that. And there is plenty in the Book of Fire about how to accomplish that loftier aim. That is how to master astrology. Even a computer can spit out these paragraphs. But I have to admit that one reason I have always emphasized this point about thinking astrologically is that it is awfully tedious to write about Mars in Aries, then Mars in Taurus, then Mars in Gemini, ad infinitum. But Saturn said, just do it. So I did, or at least I have begun. Here are a couple of examples of what all that looks like. These are illustrations taken from the book. Everything else in the Book of Fire is in the same format, and all four volumes will adhere to the same structure. So here, as an illustration, is what I write about Jupiter in Taurus in the natal chart. The prize. What is more precious than a serene heart? Your wisest aim in life includes the achievement of an abundance of peace. Silence is precious, so is a healthy relationship with your physical body. Real friends, natural beauty, a freedom from trivial distraction, and above all, time to immerse yourself in them. These are the true prizes. Next category, never underestimate the therapeutic impact on your soul of quiet, of physical touch, and of listening carefully to the prompting of your body. Never underestimate the wisdom of your instincts. Trust your animal friends. They have something very important to teach you. Next category, beware of inflation. Regarding the hyped, empty promises of this world, glamour, money, fame, and so forth, they promise far more peace than they ever actually deliver. Your gift from the gods, utterly reliable instincts, helpful wisdom, 'tis a gift to be simple. So there's Jupiter and Taurus in the natal chart. And I go through these three planets in terms of the houses as well. So here's another example. Mars in the fourth house. First category, a battlefield. First and foremost, this configuration is about the courage necessary for all inner work. Facing the truth of our own souls is frightening. Psychological work is often connected to family dynamics, and these kinds of issues figure prominently here. Angers, resentments, and repressions linked to domestic life arise and require resolution. Strategy. The integration of the substantial power of the inner warrior into the logic of the visible outward biographical life, bringing fierceness, passion, and heat to the surface, finding the strength to claim one's natural home and to protect it against any assault. Objective. A passionate soul is not enough. The aim here is a passionate life. The shape of failure. To harbor seething resentments or frustrations without a ripple on the surface of life. The bomb detonating inside the steel room. Domestic or familial conflict endlessly repeating and never resolving. So there's Mars in the fourth house. Those are all natal delineations. Lord Saturn, it turns out, was not finished with me. He didn't want me to leave out transits, progressions, and solar arcs when they are connected to the fire element via sign, planet, or house. So later in the book, you will find, for example, well, here's Mars contacting the moon. And here I wimped out a little bit. These are general guidelines for transiting, progressed, or solar arc Mars forming any kind of aspect to the moon. Later in the book, we kind of parse out the aspects and the differences among those three categories of prediction. But here we have the general principles about the merging of the archetype of moving Mars with the natal moon. So here it goes. Time to defend your right to express your true feelings, to take time for your own healing and regeneration, to have a domestic situation that actually meets your needs, to spend time with your soul family, to not be materially productive, to sleep, to cultivate dream time, to protect those whom you love. Synchronistic correlates. Signals from the emotional body indicating that it is time for some self-care. Similar signals from the physical body. Family events demanding attention. Family crisis. Emotions boiling over. Hidden feelings revealed. An edgy mood. Touchiness. Beware of over-dramatization. The way passion exaggerates and distorts one's expression, saying things in the heat of the moment that you later wish you could take back, errors and accidents arising from a failure to monitor your own tiredness, frustration, or physical and emotional feedback. Now, the predictive or developmental sections of the Book of Fire are quite lengthy and detailed. Let's look at just one more example. It's kind of a timely one, with Jupiter currently transiting through Sagittarius for everybody as I record these words. But the words I'm about to quote from the book must be tied in with a specific house that Jupiter is contacting and any big aspects it is making. Jupiter in Sagittarius has personal meaning, but it is also generalizable through the entire human race at this point. All of that is covered in the book. So, Jupiter entering Sagittarius happens every 12 years. Your new frontier. Everything hinges upon one critical realization. You have been underestimating yourself. It may be that your faith in yourself was damaged somehow. If so, recognize that you are now sufficiently healed to get on with your life in a better way. Or it may simply be that you have reached a stage of development and maturation in which you are capable of doing more than you had ever imagined in the past. Either way, this is an excellent time to simply roll the dice and expect a miracle. The prison you must escape. A constricted, unimaginative vision of your actual potentials. You are better than you think you are. That kind of limiting or negative ideation is your prison. Your social and cultural horizons are too restricted. You have been trained to be less than you are capable of being. Do not accept spending your life in those shackles. Finally, the terrible toll of the dark road. The shot not taken, the opportunity missed. Standing slack-jawed and paralyzed before the gateway to the Golden City, then watching the gate swing shut in your face. Ooh, you don't want to do that. Okay, well, I try to cover all the major permutations of the fire energies, both natally and under developmental pressure, in this cookbook fashion. My hope is that my more advanced students will continue to focus on learning how to think astrologically, which is to say, how to put all the symbols into that magical alchemical cauldron they keep between their ears, coming up with interpretations that way. Meanwhile, I am happy to help beginners by supplying them with these cookbook paragraphs. They are a good starting point. In a nutshell, these paragraphs in the Book of Fire are the distillation of the first thoughts in my head when I am preparing to sit down with a client. The Elements series will, I hope, live on after me. These four books feel like legacy work, a project ambitious enough to see me well into my 70s with a sense of purpose, plus a gratifying sense of leaving something useful behind me in the world. I'm just praying that old Cosmo up there grants me the years I need to get to the Amen in the Book of Water, which will be the final book of the series. You pray too, please. I do believe in the power of prayer. Right now, I think I am on track to have the Book of Earth completed by the end of this year. And actually, and are you listening, Lord? I do have a few more books in mind after these, ones that I would not mind having enough years to write. How can I possibly exit stage left without having written the Book of Uranus or the Book of the Sun? And what about the Book of Houses? I'm actually kind of burning with these. And what exactly is the meaning of that cryptic look I see on the faces of my guardian spirits up there? Well, we'll find out. So thank you, and I do hope you enjoy the Book of Fire. Goodbye.